Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Healing of Agape this week. My name is Eva Herr, and I'm a medical intuitive. My gift was brought around back in May of 2003 due to a spontaneous enlightenment, gift or burden, I don't know what you want to call it, because it's certainly been trials and tribulations. But anyway, this week we're going to talk about the nature of physical reality, intent, and consciousness. The nature of physical reality is far beyond the wildest dreams of most people. For in their cause and effect theory, the theories of the scientists, they don't consider intent. At first there was only consciousness, but consciousness had intent. Therefore, when the essence of consciousness thought, it had to think up something to manifest that thought and finally came up with the building block of hydrogen. Because the hydrogen atom is the basic building block of everything in existence as you know it, and even those things that you don't know. And intent is the cause and effect, because intent is what starts the energy going. Intent is the start of everything, even the firing of neurotransmitters in your brain. Intent is placed through consciousness, and consciousness, as you know, is the topic that challenges the world. For most people, consciousness is how much aware are you of those things of life and love. However, it's really just the opposite of that. Consciousness is really how much aware are you of the space around you. How much aware are you of those things which move your mind? Move your mind, you ask? Moving your mind is those things that make you go deep. Those things that make you sit and pondering, for pondering is the essence of meditation. That's why it's so important to meditate. For when you meditate, you get the facts and conclusions of the universe at your disposal. Do you realize how valuable that is? Do you realize how many mistakes you can avoid? Well, it's at your fingertips, people, and all you have to do is use it. The intent of consciousness comes in like an idea. It pops into your mind when you least expect it. That silent, tiny voice in your head that you hear, that's consciousness. It's your reaction and further action that determines what will happen next in your life. Now that's exactly how the universe was formed. The universe, as you know, it's probably not what it seems. It's a universe of one and many. It is one universe with many solar systems in a universe of one and many. Because your universe was created by the masses of all the solar systems at one time, it is created and experienced by the masses simultaneously. All dimensions are experienced at once. That's why I can't stress enough that we are all one. We are all of one source. And believe it or not, you do experience all dimensions at one time, and there are as many dimensions as there are grains of sand. You just don't realize it because it's all about frequencies. Frequencies that resonate throughout the universe in hertz. That's why there's a horizontal energy field. This energy field is caused by the space between the dimensions where all excess negative energy is stored before being recycled back into the universe. Souls are able to experience on multiple levels of consciousness, just as you have several dreams occurring at the same time. Think about it related to a phonograph record. 11 phonograph records, all stacked up on top of each other, all playing at the same time. Each phonograph record playing different sounds, notes, all at the same time. But you can only hear one because you only have one set of headphones plugged in. Imagine each song on the record as a lifetime, and all the songs or lifetimes are playing at the same time. But because they each require a needle to play, the needle representing the frequency of the dimension being played in this particular physical body, you can listen to only one at a time. If you had 11 needles, you could play all the songs on all the albums at the same time. However, the body and physical reality as you know it can hear only the song of one dimension at a time. In REM sleep, though, you can catch a glimpse of dimensions other than what you're living. You can glimpse all of the dimensions if you desire to do so, but only in REM sleep, unless you raise your frequency to that calibrated for each dimension, which you can do through consciousness raising. REM sleep provides insight to the soul as to all benefit of the knowledge. Your soul growth experience is greatly enhanced. For with this knowledge, you enable yourself to avoid much pain typically experienced with soul growth. Because you will possess a greater knowledge base from which to draw, you will make wiser, more intelligent decisions that will ultimately alleviate negative karma that one typically incurs by making poor choices associated with soul growth. Although you think the multiple dreams you are having at night are occurring one after the other, they are not. You simply remember only those occurring during the period of your sleep you know as rapid eye movement, or REM sleep. You may have 11 dreams per night, but only remember the various parts of the dreams that occurred in REM sleep. You only remember the dreams in REM sleep because REM sleep was designed by God so that the psyche could look into the soul if it chooses to do so. All of the information of all of your combined soul experiences, of all there is there within the soul. But not everyone is ready for all the information at once, so it is given in the form of REM sleep. When a soul is ready to view all the information, it is available in the same way you receive all other intuitive information. The body has limitations, though, and overloading it is one of them. The reason you yourself aren't aware of the order other things you're experiencing simultaneously is because you have significant problems with too much input as it is. At least I know I do. How many times have you told your children to stop screaming and turn the TV off? God only knows what would happen if you were aware of all the things going on at the same time in the other realities. You would go over the edge. But for those ready to know, the information is there. Obviously, there are negative thought remnants left over from lifetimes. All dimensions contain negative energy remnants from thoughts and motive ill used. And since energy never stops, it has to go somewhere. So that is the somewhere. That somewhere is contained within the womb of God and is available to all for a manner which is appropriate. The energy there is clean energy, so to speak. It's been recycled and has great potential for mankind. It has the potential to move consciousness and mankind into the next millennium, save the earth at the same time. It can solve the rainforest issues, the water issues, the food chains of the oceans. It can provide everything that is needed by the entire universe at one time. Speaking of universes, people confuse universes with dimensions. Universes are those things with boundaries. Dimensions are the frequencies between those boundaries. There are as many dimensions as there are grains of sand, but the boundaries that contain those dimensions are as limited as a record album, for you see, they're quite similar. They're similar in that the frequencies never change, like the songs in the record album never change, only those things that pass through the frequencies. Frequencies are vertical and horizontal lines of energy that pulse with the breathing of the universe as a whole. The higher up the ladder of frequency one goes, the more still the pulse of energy, much like a fan. The faster the fan blows, the more still the whir. You know, it's much like the flapping of a chicken's wing compared to the whir of a hummingbird's wings. Now, the higher you go up the ladder, the less of a physical body you have. And for those of you that don't understand, look at the difference in the skin of a horny toad compared to the skin of a human. The human's electromagnetic field vibrates at a much higher frequency, so it is less dense. This doesn't mean, though, that the horny toad doesn't have consciousness. For it does. But that is, consciousness is within a different dimension. That is why a horny toad and a human cannot communicate. You can't teach a horny toad to respond to your intellectual stimulus, but you can observe the frequency of the consciousness of the horny toad's existence. Notice I say observe. For observe is all you can do. You simply cannot interact on an intellectual level. For interacting would be frustrating for you and yet go completely unnoticed by the horny toad. That is about as simple explanation as I can give to describe the difference in dimensions and distinct, separate universes. That's also the reason why many people can't see eye to eye. They reside in different dimensions, different frequencies, different vibrating fields. When people reside at different dimensions, they exist at different levels of consciousness. That's why it's like talking to a telephone pole sometimes when you talk to some people. And when some people think that you're a know-it-all, the person at a lower vibrating frequency does not experience what the person of the higher vibrational frequency experiences. But the person at the higher vibration knows, but does not necessarily have to experience what the person of a lower vibration experiences. It's kind of like been there and done that. In essence, one knows what the other does not, and the one that does not know it, does not know it. It's actually funny to watch the interaction when you see it going on. I tell my kids sometimes, and the people that I teach, you know, it's like going to school. If you just simply do what the teacher of higher consciousness says do, and you know if they're of higher consciousness, you can feel it. You know if it makes you feel at peace, then just do it. Like you tell your kids to do when they go to kindergarten. Just do it because the teacher says to do it. You live in them all, though, all 11 at once. You can see them all, but you can't interact with them without changing frequency. The purpose and goal of changing frequency is to simply observe more and interact less. To be. Interacting means there's some sort of groveling going on. Groveling with the sustenance of life or the groveling of emotions. You think that horny toad has emotions? Hardly. It has instinct. The two are uniquely different, yet the same. They both accomplish the same goal, but one is more fun than the other. The higher the frequency, the more fun. Now for the big question. What is fun? Fun is the gaining of spiritually enlightening knowledge through experience. You ride a roller coaster through the air with great exhilaration, or you ride through the haunted house with fear. Well, guess what, people? The fear of haunted house cannot be felt while experiencing the exhilaration of the roller coaster in the air. Just think about it. It simply cannot be felt, for the exhilaration of the speed of the roller coaster changes your frequency to that of excitement and glee, while the haunted house causes you to cringe and knot up with fear. It lowers your frequency as you withdraw from physical reality into self. Self being that place you go when you have nowhere else to go. The respirations slow down, the pulse soars, and the heart is deprived of oxygen because it is being flooded with fear. It constricts its vessels to keep out any possible negative emotions. So you see, that is lowering a frequency. Someone can watch you go through those changes but could not begin to explain them to you, for it's only an observation without words. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? Of course not, because jelly beans are in a different frequency and maintain no consciousness. Now, each dimension of the universe is simply a different combination of atoms, and the combination of the atoms determines the frequency. Therefore, if you have 11 levels of consciousness, as Dr. David Hawkins states in his book, Power vs. Force, then you must have 11 parallel universes. Interestingly, as Dr. Edward Witten from Princeton set forth in his book, The Elegant Universe. So each set forth with its own dimension-based reality. And I'm a channel now, after my experience, and I don't know why I say there's 11 universes, because I have absolutely no idea. I'm not a scientist. It's just what I hear in my head, and I have somewhat of a description of what I think those universes are. And interestingly, I get that there are 11, but only 7 attached to ascension. And if you've ever picked through the Bible, you probably recall that they're in there numerous times about the 7 levels of ascension. Well, reality as you know it is but one plane of existence and consists of Earth and all that's three-dimensional. The next plane, I believe, beyond the physical world would be what you consider to be the plane wherein discarnate souls reside before they're able to ascend. I don't believe there's any ascension attached to this level. This level is not much different from the earthly plane, except that you don't inhabit a body. All of your thoughts and emotions continue to exist, and at this level there are no physical boundaries and no physical body. The next plane is the causal plane of existence. It is where the frequency of the psyche resides, also known as the teaching plane. It consists of what you would understand to be the level of wisdom and higher learning of spiritual awareness. It is where the consciousness of mankind resides. The next level, I believe, and I have no idea what order these levels are in. These are just simply descriptions, as far as I'm concerned. The next level, I believe, is a level of recovery from the physical plane during which healing to the soul takes place. It's for cleansing the souls of negativity that they took on during the physical lifetime, and I don't believe it's a level of ascension, but a level for healing purposes. The next level, I call the level of intelligence and integrity, and believe is attached to ascension. And you would understand this level as mass consciousness. Although this level is experienced in physical form, utilizing a body, here it is experienced with much greater intellectual capability. The beings on this level are more evolved than the average human being. They communicate entirely by telepathy and do not have the food requirements of human beings. Their sole source of food is energy in the form of electromagnetism. The reality of this dimension is also different in that it is multidimensional, meaning it has more than six dimensions, and souls who reside here go to where they think they are when they think the thought they are there. I guess kind of like teleporting. I'm not really sure. It's just something I see in my head, and I describe it the best way I can. The next level, which I believe is attached to ascension, is a level which I call loss and deprivation. A soul spends time alone learning and feeling the experience of a void universe and experiencing the total lack of love. And I'm not saying that you don't experience this level on Earth, because how many of us have experienced this? I'm just saying it is a frequency that you experience at life periods of time during your lifetime. This reality is not a physical reality, but one of pure thought and energy. Because a soul can't exist without love, and therefore the learning process is short, I believe that times of this usually last about 2 years, as we can describe it. A soul cannot bear much more than this without withering and dying and having to start the process all over. Because a soul's source of food is love, and it cannot do without love for much longer than that. This is the hardest type of love to experience, in that a soul has to find love for itself in a universe void of all it recognizes and associates with love. In other words, the soul is all that will reside in this void universe and must learn to love itself without direction. The soul has to depend on itself to teach itself to love. The soul has the knowledge that its objective is self-love, just like we do here. We know that's what we're supposed to do. We know that we don't need anything to make us happy, but yet we require things. It has only to find love in a state of complete aloneness. That's why dark nights of the soul occur, to make us experience the period of being alone and learning to pull ourselves up by the bootstrap. The soul has to ultimately realize that it is all there is and that it contains the ability to manifest love in any form it needs. Once it realizes this, the soul can manifest a complete world for itself if it desires to do so. That's the nature of a void universe, to fill the universe with love as the soul defines that love. You can compare this to what God originally experienced in the beginning, except this love is experienced by the single soul. It is not experienced as a physical reality, but through thought processes alone, much as a dream. The next level you would understand to be the level of the progression of will. At least that's what I call it. I believe this level is also attached to ascension, and it's not a physical reality, but a level of thought and outcome. And how many times do we sit and think about something that has happened, and we think it all the way through and project various outcomes? The level of the progression of will, a soul must think of a scenario and experience its outcome as if it were actually experiencing it. This takes place in the fashion of simulation within the confines of the soul's existence. It simply means that the soul will experience alone, without the consequences involving others. And how many times have you sat and contemplated things and what the outcome would be if you did a certain action? That's exactly what it is. The level of the progression of will is designed to establish great growth of knowledge for the soul's repertoire of experiences of love and emotion. Without this knowledge, a soul would not understand the oneness of God and all there is. This level is a hard level to endure because there is no one involved in the scenario with whom to share your shortcomings. This level helps the soul fully understand the power of free will. Free will is not all there is, but rather what it's not. The soul lacks the luxury of free will and has to learn to develop free will over a period of repeated experiences. And I know for sure that I've had to do that. For example, a soul will be told it has to do a certain thing, and the soul wants to do that certain thing because it was told to do so, much like a computer. The soul must ultimately figure out that the things that it's being told to do are not always in its best interest, and what we're talking about right here is conditioning in your life. The things that you're taught when you're a child, you've got to figure out that those things are not always right. It has to learn to love itself enough to develop the will to object to those things it does not feel are in its best interest. These things are all experienced in a form somewhat like simulation. It's somewhat like the simulator of the Chevy so at Six Flags, where you feel like you're driving an airplane or racing over a mountain in a car, or perhaps playing a simulation game on a computer, for computers are a form of simulation. Obviously, the soul does not actually inhabit a computer, but uses such a device to effectuate the experience. The device being your mind, your brain. Your brain is the computer. There is no thinking mechanism there. It's simply a processor, processing the consciousness of the God force. It will all make sense as your understanding of the multiple dimensions grow. The experiences gained through the simulation process are felt by the soul as if the experiences were its own. Because the previous soul level leaves the soul emotionally dead, so to speak, the next level, I believe, is another level of healing and not a level attached to ascension. The next level, I believe, would be the learning level to face God and become one with everything, which I believe is attached to ascension. A soul must learn to combine what it is with everything that is. And this is not as easy as it sounds. A soul will resist departing with who it is and must endure the hardships associated with that. This is not a physical plane again as you know it, but our psyche. But yet it is a physical plane in a sense. A soul is tied to physical reality as it relates to free will. It behaves as if it is a single unit, though it is not, for we are all one. On this level, the experience is that of mass consciousness, experiencing itself united as one. In order to become one with God, a soul must let go of who it is and be one with all there is. Look at your brothers and your sisters and your neighbors and your friends, for you all are one. A soul carries an identity throughout its existence, and it is hard for the soul to release this identity of itself as a single unit, which we call ego. At the next level, I believe, is a level of purification, and all negativity is cleansed before the soul ascends to be one with God and all there is. I don't believe there is ascension attached to this level. It is a level purely for spiritual cleansing. On this particular level, I believe electromagnetism is used through electromotive force to remove all negative particles of energy in the form that remain in the soul's essence. The particles of electrons, and I'm not sure if it's really electrons or just negative particles of a consciousness atom. There's not really a word for this, so I struggle with what to call it, but the ones that have remained within the soul due to hate and lack of love. Electromagnetism can actually be used on Earth to remove negativity, and I believe that's what all these subtle energy machines are that's coming forth. And I know Daniel Brinkley has one, and I have one, and Rife has one, and Bob Beck's design son. I mean, there's multiple units out there, and that's exactly what they do. They change the vibrational frequency of the cells, healing the cells, speeding up the frequency so they become less dense. However, it must be used at a certain frequency to accomplish the results sought, because the wrong frequency could cause devastating effects on mankind. The next level, which I believe is attached to ascension, is the level before reuniting with the oneness. This last level is the level of allowing a soul to experience somewhat the feeling of the oneness to help determine if the soul is truly prepared to reunite with the oneness of the ultimate energy of all there is. This level allows a soul to observe from a distance the ultimate energy of all there is. And I suspect that we could equate that to Buddha and to Christ energy. A soul knows if it is ready to reunite because it can feel the energy of the oneness, and if its energy properly resonates with the oneness, it is ready to reunite. If it doesn't properly resonate, it must figure out what it lacks and return to the appropriate level of learning for the knowledge it needs to reunite. The soul will know if it's ready or not by the frequency of light it emits from its being, for we are beings of light when not contained in the physical body. If it's not ready and attempts to reunite, it will be extinguished and have to start the process all over again, for the energy of God is great. Being extinguished would not be a punishment, but rather a consequence, two distinctly different things. The soul knows beforehand that it must be prepared for reuniting. God doesn't extinguish the soul. The soul extinguishes itself by attempting to join an energy greater than its own, much like trying to burn a piece of wood in the heat that it takes to heat a piece of steel. Obviously, the wood would burn up long before the steel even began to get hot. And I believe reuniting with the oneness is a three-step process. First, the soul agrees to reunite and lose its identity of self. Next, the soul loses its etheric body and the knowledge of all that was and accepts the knowledge of all that is. Lastly, it combines itself with the ultimate energy as one. For a soul cannot retain its knowledge of a singular experiences and be one with all there is at the same time. It has to receive the knowledge of all there is. Lifetimes on Earth are probably the easiest of all lifetimes because the remaining lifetimes are geared toward advanced spiritual growth. However, life on Earth is also the most emotional experience of all of the dimensions because of the physical aspect of touch and sexual intimacy. You manifest your own physical reality, and love in the physical reality, or sex, is probably the most intense love you will experience. The actual experience of lovemaking is the most intense form of love within all dimensions. The act of love can be expressed in many ways, but the act of lovemaking is the most intense. The act of lovemaking without love attached is not what I mean. That's merely a sexual act. But rather the act of expressing true love to a mate. The act of expressing true love to a mate is love uncompared, for true love is a most intense emotion and unparalleled in all dimensions and a sight to behold in the eyes of both God and mankind. Let's take Romeo and Juliet, for example. They love beyond all physical means. They love beyond all else. They love with true intent to be together until the end of time. This is the kind of love of which I speak. Love of this nature exceeds all limits of physical reality. Love to this extent is love like no other. Love in the multidimensional realities, meaning greater than six dimensions, is love experienced by all simultaneously. It's like the love you experience with your children. It's a more of a compassionate, caring, nurturing love than an intense emotion. It's more like feeding spiritual nutrition to the life of the soul. The soul in multiple dimensions simply needs love to exist, and love is the only source of food needed by the soul. The soul in multiple dimensions does not inhabit a physical body such as the bodies inhabit on Earth. It lives in a more of a mind over matter state, manifesting what it needs when it needs it. There's really no need for a physical body, though experiences can be experienced through a physical body if the need be. Imagine a soul living in a colony of thought. When it needed to experience something, the entire colony of thought would experience the experience. For example, if for some reason you needed to experience the taste of eggs, the entire colony would experience the taste of eggs. You would, of course, have a reason for the need to experience the taste of eggs. You would take that reason to the Council of Thought to have the experience approved. Once approved, the council would manifest the taste of eggs. That way, it would be experienced by all with consensus. Separate thoughts do exist. They are just not manifested without consensus. Other dimensions are far less emotional. Lifetimes on the other physical planes are more involved with the mass consciousness, and lessons are learned differently. Life in other dimensions is experienced more as an understanding rather than emotional involvement. On Earth, there is more play and less seriousness, and lessons are learned on an individual as opposed to mass basis, though mass consciousness does exist and is utilized on Earth. In lifetimes involving mass consciousness, lessons are experienced and learned collectively. In mass consciousness, the elements of emotional pain are the same as they are for you on Earth, but there is more wisdom available. Because the emotional pain is experienced by all, it is different than having to experience the pain alone. The emotional pain experienced in mass consciousness is more of a compassion and sorrow type of pain, like you either knew or should have known that a particular behavior would result in a particular consequence. But because the initial problem was misdiagnosed, the entire consciousness would suffer. The lessons are also tolerated one, so the results are experienced simultaneously by all. The entire population contributes knowledge and the decisions are made by consensus. The aftermath of the World Trade Center bombing is a classic example of mass consciousness and grieving. Mistakes are made by misinterpreting the actual problem. These lessons are more about the moral lessons of people's needs. The lessons are for the benefit of all. Because life without these lessons would be fruitless for a soul. A soul hungers for knowledge like a baby hungers for its mother's bosom. Knowledge helps the soul ascend to the oneness of God, and that's the whole purpose. Mass consequences would be very much as if the people of the earth had one government without an appeal process, so that any decision made by the governing body would affect the entire population. So you see, it is your frequency that determines which or how many of these frequencies you experience at any given time. The end theory of the unified string theory supports the existence of 11 parallel universes. Dr. David Hawkins' scale of consciousness supports 11 levels of consciousness. So there must be, too, something about 11 parallel universes and 11 levels of consciousness. And, of course, I don't know because I'm just a girl telling you what I hear in my head. But physics is a science that reflects the laws of what is as it relates to reality. It is the law of what is and the law of what will be. Physics is not only about computing numbers to assess equations, but also about manifesting your reality as it relates to all there is and, of course, all there will be in the parallel universes. Physics is simply the application of imagination, free will, and intent, limited only by your imagination and your limits to be. Physics is always provable by computation, so how can you deny the existence of what is proven? If one has a computation available setting forth what's been told, how can one deny what's been said? For the mere computation of a math problem, you can piece together the facts of the puzzle. For physics has no objective except to reflect what is. It has no ego to inflate and no personality to boost in the eyes of man. It simply is what it is. Your thoughts are the most powerful thing in existence. You wouldn't stand out in a lake in a metal fishing boat in a lightning storm, I don't think, because water conducts electricity. Well, what do you think happens when you think a thought? It starts an electrical firing that causes an impulse to run from synaptic gate to synaptic gate. That lightning bolt doesn't stop when it hits that fishing boat. It punches a hole right through it. Well, your thought doesn't stop at that bone in your head, in your skull. It goes right through it and out into the world. And it either oscillates what I call positive consciousness units, it may be protons, I have no idea, or negative consciousness units, which may be electrons, I have no idea. But whichever one it does, when it transmits, when that atom starts oscillating, it transmits and receives at the same time, just like a radio transmitter. That's why what goes around comes around. And as powerful as that lightning bolt is, it's not near as powerful as your thoughts, because a lightning bolt doesn't have intent. It just strikes randomly wherever the energy field is created, and your thoughts have not only the lightning bolt to it, but intent behind it. So it's important how you treat your neighbor. It doesn't matter how they treat you. It matters how you treat your neighbor. Now, agape to you, my friends. Thank you for listening to the show, and please join us next week. Please visit my website, www.evaher.com, and I welcome questions and comments on what you hear. And if you have suggestions that you'd like to talk about or guests that you would like to have interviewed, topics you'd like to discuss, please email me, because I'd love to try and accommodate you the best I can. Agape. See you next week.
You have been listening to a Blog In Broadcasting service, a service to others' endeavor. Thank you very much, and good night.